Now, I am going to the one who sent me. But none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with sadness. But what I am about to say is true. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go, the friend will not come to help you. If I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove that the world's people are guilty. He will prove their guilt concerning sin and godliness and judgment. The world is guilty as far as sin is concerned. That is because the people, do not believe in me. The world is guilty as far as godliness is concerned. That is because I am going to the Father where you can't see me anymore. The world is guilty as far as judgment is concerned. That is because the devil, the prince of this world, has already been judged. I have much more I want to say to you, but it is more than you can handle right now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you all that is still going to happen. He will bring me glory by taking what is mine and showing it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and show it to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
God of grace, we thank you for your word that energizes us. We pray that you would meet each one of us here in this room with the power of your love. We thank you that you have drawn near. So may we draw near to you. In your name, amen. Several years ago, I was watching TV, and it was either one of those 60-minute or 2020 shows. And it was one of those that you remember for a long time afterwards. It was a woman who was dying of cancer and was talking about her sorrow, not only in leaving the earth, but also just having a daughter. She had a little girl, maybe 5 or 6 years old. And she was trying to figure out how she could be a parent to this little girl that would no longer have a mother. So she decided that in her last years of, I guess it must have been months of life, that she would do clip-its of video. So she would prop the video in her bedroom, and she would just sit there on a chair and talk to her daughter. So she would think about her daughter when her daughter reached, let's say, 10 years old, and think about some of the issues that her daughter might be going through. And she would just speak directly to her about whatever that might be. And she goes through the different years of how, when her daughter reached the years of going to a prom, and she sat there in front of the video and said, now when you're going to your prom, and she talked about boys and about what she would wear to that prom. And I was struck with just the unbelievable love that this mother had for her child to think through the different stages that she would miss as a mother, but that she wanted to make sure that her daughter had something of her as a mother. It was a powerful message of how that kind of love thinks ahead and thinks about the stages in life that this little girl would be going through. When I read this passage in John, that's what this passage reminded me of, actually. If you look at this discourse in John 16, it's actually a longer farewell discourse, John 13 all the way through 16. And I decided to, even though the passage that we're looking on is specifically on these verses that John told us in John 16, it really begins from John 13. And as I was reading through these passages, we begin in chapter 13 with Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And he says, I tell you, servants, you are not greater than the master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And then he uses these words all the way through 13, 14, 15, 16, words like little children. He says, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. I am with you only a little longer, and you will look for me, but you cannot go where I am going. He has all of these words in this passage, in these chapters, and it gives a sense of the same situation of this mother kind of relaying a message to her child. And I was overwhelmed by the love that Jesus speaks, saying, you will not be orphaned, that I am leaving the Advocate, the Spirit, with you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, over and over and over again. In chapter 14, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You will know him because he abides in you. So we have three, four chapters of this discourse. And in the same way that this mother gave a video presentation for her daughter to be shown at different stages of her life, what we have here in Scripture is God's promise to us that God will never leave us. It's a profound thought that we have a God who actually has in Scripture for us disciples, for those of us who will not see Jesus in the bodily form, but that we are given this letter, this discourse, to say that I am with you. You are not abandoned. You will not be left on your own, but instead I will send the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. The word paraclete is one that's used generally in legal settings as a legal advisor, someone who speaks on behalf of another. And so Jesus says, I'm leaving with you someone who will be able to speak, and they'll be able to speak and to teach you what God wants. We get a sense of the paraclete. The Holy Spirit doesn't come up with his own of what he wants, but he speaks directly what God the Father is saying, and then the Spirit speaks to us, his people. When we stop and think about that in our world and in the life that we have, we are given much courage. Courage, and we wonder, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? 14:26 says, to teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Those are the two things that he says in chapter 14. To teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Philip Yancey, in his book Prayer, talks about something that struck me. He writes, Virginia Stem Owens tells of her practice of laying out requests before God in evening prayers and then listening for God's response. She waited in the darkness one night, hearing nothing before, finally drifting off to sleep. In the early morning hours, just before dawn, she started awake and found herself weeping. A memory had come to her, subconscious, of a spinster aunt who had moved in with her family when Virginia was a young adolescent. Virginia had been promised a room of her own, but with her aunt's arrival, her brother got the private room, and Virginia got the consolation prize, a semi-invalid aunt as a roommate. Over the weeks and months that followed, Virginia barely concealed her bitterness, showing it in 1,000 subtle and caustic ways. That night in bed, years later, Virginia realized she had harbored the grudge her whole life. She writes, but now in this early morning light, I was feeling for the first time the scalding shame this elderly woman must have felt, moving from house to house, never having one of her own, totally dependent on the good graces of nieces and nephews for the very necessities of life. Never in all my years at home, or indeed until now, had I given a single thought to how she felt in the situation. But now I was getting a full dose of it, the pride that had to be swallowed daily in galling gulp. It was more bitter than I could bear. For me, as I read this story, I'm convinced that that's the Holy Spirit's work, teaching us everything and reminding us all that He has said to us. That in this moment that Virginia Stem Owens talks about in the middle of the night, asking God to come before her in her evening prayers, and during that evening time, God is moving during the wee hours of the morning, and then a memory comes back to her of this aunt that comes and shares a room with her. For me, this story says that in this morning time, for the first time, she was able to see from a new perspective, a perspective that was not her own, but really from her aunt's perspective. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit teaches us not what to see, but how to see. Oftentimes we have our situations that we come across in our life, and we see things from a perspective that's self-centered mostly. And then it's the Holy Spirit, when we open ourselves to those moments, that He teaches us how to see. How to see from another perspective. And for this woman, the bitterness of that she could barely bear. That's the work of the Spirit, teaching us and reminding us of a world that's not just about our circle of influence, of our needs and our wants. The Spirit moving us, the advocate. And the Father sends that to us. Meister Eckhart says these words, "The eye with which we look back at God will be the same eye that first looked at us. The eye with which we look back at God will be the same eye that first looked at us." I'm struck with God's tremendous love for us, that even in those moments when the Holy Spirit is teaching us, even in those places that we don't even know that we need to be taught, yet there's a sense of kindness and love. I'm confident that Virginia Stem Owens will never be the same, that experience that she experienced as a child and then was revealed to her to look at the situation that perhaps her aunt was living through, that she will never be the same person because of that teaching of the Holy Spirit. When we open ourselves to the Spirit's work in us, they come to us in wisdom that hopefully then will give us a new perspective for someone down the road. In chapter 16:8, he says, "And when the advocate comes, He will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned." So the advocate comes to prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. The sin is the unbelief in God's revelation in Jesus. The righteousness and judgment is the reversal of the world's eyes. The world saw Jesus as condemned, but Jesus was seen as righteous, righteous even at the cross. And so we see here that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, is revealing things to us, things that are of the world. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Gary Haugen from International Justice Mission talks about how, as a college student, he did an internship with Desmond Tutu. And then he developed the organization that we've had the privilege of having here for a global church conference. And he writes about how, once he started this International Justice Mission, to look at ways to look at justice and God's justice in the world. He decided that it was very easy for lawyers to get together and just do their work as power brokers in the world. But he decided that when he started this nonprofit, that he would do things differently. Every day, his entire staff of lawyers begins with 30 minutes of silence. And he says during that time, he encourages just prayer or meditation. Imagine a law firm. Let's say it's 8 o'clock that they begin. 30 minutes of silence. These are the people who are educated. They've gone through their law degrees, worked in cases, and yet they stop, and at the very beginning of the day, they acknowledge their powerlessness. That's profound. For 30 minutes, they're in silence. He says, we don't talk. We don't work. We sit at our desks and pray. And then in addition, every day they get together at 11 o'clock and they spend 30 minutes praying for each other and for the cases that they're involved in. Our staff members often report that this is the most meaningful part of their day. It causes me to pause. That when we think about lawyers who are working and in cases and research and out on the field, and yet they find that the most profound moment of the day is time spent with God. As we've had these speakers come to talk to us about all the different things that they've done, whether it's justice in sex trafficking or genocide or whatever the issues that they may be faced with, that they recognize their powerlessness and that without God, without the Holy Spirit moving, that they are incapable of doing the things confronting the evils of the world. And so we're given an example of how, for us, in our daily lives, how is it that we access this advocate, the one who speaks for us, the one who knows our life and the intimate goings on of our life. How is it that we are able to submit ourselves, whether it's 30 minutes in the morning, whether it's half an hour with other believers, praying with one another for the things that are going on in our lives. In September, we'll be beginning a season of prayer for this congregation. And we're going to have every Thursday night from 7 to 7:30 as a time of prayer. We'll have a room in the Westminster in Geneva where we'll be called to pray for the pastor nominating committee as they search and they do the work for us in search of a senior pastor. And so we'll have in the future bulletin announcements of how that will come about. And our hope is that our church would come and really submit ourselves before God. It's the advocate, the one who speaks, the one who identifies the sin of the world, the one who sees the evil that we are unable to see. And yet it's the Holy Spirit who loves us and who calls us his own, who has given us clips of like a video of reminders of when you go through this, I will be with you. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Those are the words over and over. The message is, we are not alone. Please join me in prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would meet each one of us here. And in this moment of silence, we come before you in prayer for ourselves. Lord, you know the things that we hold, the things that are difficult, the things that we feel powerless to make changes, whether it's our health, job situation, relationships, whatever it is, you know it. And we pray, God, that you would meet us. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to us those words of encouragement that reminds us over and over and over again that we are loved so much so that, like that mother who created those video clips, you love us to that degree. And though we don't trust that, we may think and feel that we just have to work harder. Your word to us is, I am with you. The advocate will speak. We pray for our world, for the places where there is deep evil. That may your presence come, may there be justice. May you do your work. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen.